Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening. If you'll be turning to Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, that is where we will be all evening tonight. It's always wonderful to stand before you. It's always wonderful to be able to speak. And thank you, a special thank you to Andrew for his scheduling flexibility. Originally, this was supposed to be last week, but EU, Evangelism University, was rescheduled for last weekend because it was supposed to be in January and it got snowed out. And so rescheduling kind of messed up everybody's schedules, including my own as well. So I appreciate Andrew's flexibility in letting me preach this Sunday rather than last Sunday. And also, as I said this morning in our announcements, Vacation Bible School is 8 weeks from today. And so we've had lots of great people sign up for lots of different jobs already. I was just tallying those up this afternoon. We still need teachers for our little ones. Our little ones don't rotate through all of our different rotations, so we do need people to teach them. And we've got a sign-up sheet outside for that as well, and we'll be getting in contact with some people. But if you want to teach or help with teaching our little ones at VBS this year, that's June 24th through 27th, please let me know. And we thank you so much for your support, and we appreciate everything that you do for our Vacation Bible School at all times. Thank you so much. It has been 23 years, but I still remember the event, the night, like it was yesterday. It was a Sunday evening. It was June 9th, 1996, and I had just returned from my first year of summer camp. And at 14 years old, it had been a life-changing experience for me. Now, I know everything at 14 years old is a life-changing experience, but this event, this week of my life, set the precedent for everything that was to come. I walked down the aisle that evening, and the preacher was not surprised. He smiled, probably way much more bigger than he should have, because he knew. He knew how much I had been thinking about and wrestling with this decision. It wasn't that I didn't think I needed to be baptized. It was just that I wanted to do it the right way. And I wanted to make sure I did it at the right time. I still have the cassette tape in my office of what the preacher said that night when I responded to the gospel, what he said publicly. What was more significant, though, was what he said to me privately as the invitation song died down. And he whispered to me. He whispered, he looked at me, and he says, he looked in my eyes, and he says, "I know that you know that this is right." And then he quoted the passage that we are going to read this evening. And he went on to say that God's grace is with you tonight. After a confession that I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he died for my sins, my preacher that evening baptized me. And I often think about that day. I think about how I felt. I think about the emotions that transpired. You may be able to think about the day that you were baptized and about the implication maybe of the most important choice that you have ever made. I know that it was the most important choice that I've ever made. Oftentimes, though, my thinking goes in different ways. I think about what happened since. I think about maybe the mistakes that I've made. I think about the people that I've wronged, the things that I've said that I shouldn't have said. I think about what's happened since. Let me ask you this question, though. Do you remember that day? When you put Jesus on in baptism, if indeed you've made that choice, do you remember that day? Maybe you haven't made that choice yet. Maybe you're here tonight and you have not been baptized. Hopefully we can look at reflection on baptism here, and perhaps you might make that decision someday soon. If you have made that choice, tonight I hope that you'll think back to what your baptism truly means to you, and then we can reflect on it. So, what does it mean to be, as we move along in our thing, what does it mean to be a baptized person? What is baptism? Well, I think we are very knowledgeable of that fact. I think that we hear about it quite a bit. We are offered an invitation every single time that someone stands up here and preaches. You're offered an invitation. But when we think about baptism, I'm afraid that we tend to think of it as buying an insurance policy. We buy a life insurance policy and then we kind of forget about it. We don't need to maintain that. We don't need to think about a life insurance policy because it's there for what? One reason. To cover us in case we die, in case something happens to us. Baptism isn't just about where we go when we die. We do it, we buy insurance to cover us in case we die, and I think that's a bad way of thinking about baptism. Baptism isn't something that we do to just cover us in case we die, and I'll have to admit, that's what I was thinking when I was 14 years old. I wanted to be on the right side. I wanted to be on the right side if something happened to me. Hopefully I've grown since then. But I realize that baptism isn't something about just where we go when we die. Baptism is about what we do while we're alive as well. And grace plays a big part in this. As we begin to talk about grace this month as our theme, grace in Him, when we begin to talk about that, we begin to talk about the theme of grace and what it means to us. How does your baptism fit into that? How does your baptism shape your life? How should it shape your life? When the New Testament talks about baptism, it is most of the time it's talking to baptized people. It's not talking to people that haven't made that decision yet. It's talking and reminding people that have made that decision who they are and what they've done. More specifically, what God has done for them. And so this evening I want to camp out in Romans chapter 6. I want to invite you to turn there if you haven't already. We're going to look at what Paul says about baptism and how we can reflect on what baptism means for us. And of course, God's free gift of grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? What are we to say? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? Can I confess something to you this evening? I've always tried to avoid teaching or preaching anything but the most popular passages from the book of Romans. Maybe it's because I'm afraid of Romans. Maybe because it's such a challenging book. Maybe because it just boggles your mind when you read some of these passages like this. But if you haven't read Romans in a while, I'd invite you to do that. I think Jonathan Winchester's class right now in the Fellowship Hall is going through that right now. And I think maybe the main reason I've always avoided Romans was because it's so challenging. We tend to avoid things that are incredibly challenging. We tend to want to avoid things that are hard to deal with. Romans in places is very difficult to deal with. But you cannot read these words and not examine yourself. You can't read these words and not think about what your baptism and what God's grace means to you. So up to this point in the letter, Paul has been talking about grace, and he's been talking about salvation and how they're gifts from God. And these gifts are given to the people who put their faith in Jesus Christ. So when we put our faith in Jesus, we get that gift of a right relationship. We get justification, and it's all by His grace. It's that free gift of grace. But whenever we see someone or the idea being brought forward of the idea of a gift or something that's free, people always flock to it. You ever see that? You ever notice that? Most of the time, what would we say? When something is offered for free, when it's too good to be true, what do we normally say with that? Well, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. My absolute favorite is those timeshare things that people get you to come and listen to. My in-laws got to listen to one time, and they told us all sorts of different stories about it. They promised a free cruise to them and everything like that if they just listened to this 8-hour presentation and said no 350 times, right? That's not free. It may sound free. It may be a good deal, too, but it's not free. That's not free. It costs me time. And we see deals like that all the time. You get this for free with the purchase of a regularly priced menu item. That's not truly free, is it? But that's why we're so skeptical. And the very reason that Paul starts to address the free gift of grace here is that people naturally gravitate towards the impression that if it's too good to be true, it probably is. When you start talking a lot about grace, The inevitable question comes up. When people start talking, when Paul starts talking about it here, Paul asked this question here in verse 1, and evidently he got some of these responses. He probably got somebody saying to him, "Hey, Paul, listen, you're telling me it doesn't matter how we live? Are you telling me that we can just go ahead and go sinning and keep on sinning and be covered by God's grace?" And it seems here in Romans 6 that a lot of people may have been saying that about Paul. They may have been accusing him of saying that. And so Paul asked the question rhetorically, should we go on sinning that grace may abound? And he answers directly in verse 2. What does it say? By no means. He says, no. No, no, no. That is not what I'm saying, Paul says. And then he goes on to say, how can we who died to sin still live in it? What does Paul mean when he uses that phrase, live in it? What does he mean? Read chapters 5 and 6 of Romans and pay attention to how many times he uses the word rain. Not rain like the coming storm that was blowing around right before services started. I'm talking about rain, as in kings, as in rulers, and things like that. And Paul is talking about two different kingdoms, basically, that you can live in. There's one kingdom on one side of sin. And it's almost as if sin is not just an act that you do. It's just not just being rebellious to God, but it's as if sin itself is personified as a king. And because mankind, because humankind, both Jew and Gentile, has chosen the way of rebellion, has chosen to obey this rule of sin, we've all come under the reign of sin, and the consequence of doing so is condemnation. It's death. The things on the screen here is what some of the things that are the things that happen when we have sin in our lives. And so Paul says, how can we live in that? How can we live in it? That's what it is. It's to remain under slavery. It's to remain under bondage to sin, to continue obeying that slave master and that ruler, that king, which is rebellion against God. And then, but he says, after that, he says, we died to sin. We died to that. How can we still live in it? How do you die to sin? Look at verse 3 with me. Do you not know, he says, in other words, he says, you know this, right? He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Paul says that your baptism is death with Christ. That you are participating in death with him. It's you dying to that kingdom, coming out of that kingdom and going into this other kingdom, and a kingdom of life rather than death. A kingdom of justification, as we go to the next slide, rather than an indictment of us. This kingdom of grace rather than neglect and unforgiveness. Grace, Paul says here, is not an excuse to live the way that we want to. Paul reinforces that right here in Romans 6, and he says that our baptism has everything to do with right here, with right now, and how we live our life in the present rather than just being an insurance policy for when we die. The question tonight is, will you continue to be a slave to sin? Or will you live out that baptism by being buried in death with him? You know, the more I study Scripture, the more I look at things in the Bible, the more I teach, the more I figure out that I don't have it all figured out. In fact, it's passages like this one that really make me go, that's really interesting. This is what's called maybe an antithetical idea. It contradicts itself. Being buried in death with Christ so that we can live again. We don't bury things that we want to live unless it's planting something. We don't bury things that we want to live. Look at verse 4. He says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. As one author puts it, we who participate in Christ's death have already shut the door on death itself. We have submitted to the reign of Christ in his kingdom. So does it matter how we live? Of course it does. Because we're different. We have come through death to the other side, and we've been raised to walk in this newness of life, in the kingdom of grace and life. So why would you live as if you're still under the reign of sin and death? It doesn't make sense. Sometimes, you know, we read every day sometimes about governments and foreign countries who rule over their subjects with tyranny and oppression. I can't help but wonder what happens to those people when they aren't under that oppression anymore. Back when I was a kid, at the church I grew up at, the church I actually referenced in my first story about being baptized, I grew up there, and we had sent one of our retired preachers to be a missionary in Pechora, Russia. And this was in the late 1980s. This was in communist Russia at the time. Now, after the fall of communism in the early 1990s, the missionary was able to come back and go there and get a visa and go back and forth. And the missionary would come back to the States and give us reports of how and what their congregations were doing, how those Christians were surviving there. And he said something over and over that I've never forgotten. He said, these people that we're ministering to, they just can't understand what it's like to be free. They can't understand, they can't get out of that mindset. And I think some of us fall into that trap in our sin as well. You see, the Russian people at that time had been used to communism and socialism and economic destitution. They had been poor for decades. Some people had grown up, and that was all that they had known in that nation. And yet when they were free, when the Iron Curtain was lifted, they didn't know what to do to themselves. They didn't know what to do with their freedom. This is another antithetical idea here. Isn't just being baptized into Christ's death in order to live. It's that we have become slaves to Christ so that he has set us free. The next verse alludes to that as we kind of close our discussion this evening. For if we have been united with him, verse 5, in a death like his, then we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is talking about our future. This is talking about what's coming. This means that when I die physically, death will have no hold on me. Why? Because I've already participated in the death of Jesus. And just like Jesus was resurrected, I will be too. Last week I was working and fiddling around with some of our broken hearing assistance devices. You may be listening to this right now on one of those hearing assisted devices. Sometimes they get recycled. I see two on the front row right here that I need to take in and look at. They get broken. I either have to fix them or recalibrate them, or I have to send them back to the manufacturer. Well, I had never actually looked up the warranty on these things until a few weeks ago. And so I looked up the warranty on these things, and I see that it had lifetime warranty. Isn't that wonderful when you see that those words? Lifetime warranty. And then I saw that little asterisk right there. And you know exactly what that asterisk means. You know that that means that you got to go read the fine print. You know that it probably is, like I said before, too good to be true. And so, of course, I went in to read the fine print, and I looked at it, and of course, it was a limited lifetime warranty. And I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not an English major or anything, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Limited lifetime warranty. And so these things only are have a warranty for 5 years, and so we got them repaired and things like that. Whenever you see that asterisk, though, it means that there is an addendum to something. There's a catch. There's something that you have to look at. With God's grace, there's no asterisk. There's no fine print. There's no hidden cost. Most of all, it's guaranteed. And so many things in life don't have a guarantee. In fact, I would venture to say that all things in life don't have a guarantee, but we can be absolutely certain that if we are buried with Christ in his death, that we will be united with him in his resurrection. And it's God's free gift of grace that enables us to be partakers of that death. When I think about grace and what Paul says about grace here in Romans chapter 6, that's what I think about, that God's free gift of grace is what truly saves us. And baptism seals that grace. If tonight you have not taken part of that free gift, if tonight you have not taken possession of that gift, I'd invite you to do that. When someone gives you a gift, you have to make the choice to receive that gift. You can refuse it. You may have refused gifts in the past. It's the same way with God's grace. Not tonight, not just tonight, not just now, but every moment. Every moment we can make the decision to accept God's free gift of grace and decide to follow his Son. That part is up to us. That part falls to us. God has done his part in offering that grace up to us and his son as a sacrifice, and all we have to do is accept it. If you haven't been baptized in his death this evening, I'd invite you to do that. If you have taken part in that burial, I invite you to reread these passages. Re-examine your baptism. Think about what it means to you, even if it's decades later. Andrew introduced our theme scripture for the month this morning, and I thought it was appropriate to close with. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." God's free gift of grace and the baptism of Jesus' death are available to all of us, every single person. Make a decision tonight. Why don't you come forward right now while we stand and while we sing?